above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church throughout. You know, that is, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Everybody said, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Great passage of Scripture. I hope you have it marked in your Bible, and it's one of those that you can refer to regularly. Before I begin my lesson today, I do want to call your attention to a new bulletin board out in the foyer. I can't even count the number of people that will ask me all the time, well, just who are all the missionaries that we support? We know we support you and Rosemary and Jim and Donna, but who are all of our missionaries? Well, I have to hem all around. I have to think quite a bit, and I'm a lot like most of you. My forgetter works overtime, and I may get them all out eventually, but sometimes I might leave one or two out. When you leave out today, you look out here, out by our emergency defibrillator. You all know where that is, right? Okay, I'm making sure you do, just in case somebody needs one. There's a bulletin board out there that will give you a map, show you the map of all of the places that you as a congregation and that we together support, and list in a picture of those that apply to the missionaries that are being supported by this congregation. And in fact, next Lord's Day, we will actually have one of those missions here to report to us, and that's the Gospel Chariot Ministry. We'll be introducing a special speaker, Mike Napier, next week. I want to make mention of that and thank the ladies who have gone to all that hard work to put it up. If you want to know, don't ask me. Go out and read it, okay? Can I get a big amen from you? You can all do that, can't you? Good. Good deal. Our lesson today is in search of God's will, or seeking God's will. And I have some more preface remarks just before I get into that. I want to tell you that a lesson that has to do with the, I'm going to say, the enormity, the vast knowledge that it really takes to try to understand everything that God is trying to help us to understand as His will, is far too big for me to try to get it to you in a lesson on a Sunday morning so you might receive it that way. But I'm going to make an attempt to cover some things in a general way about that. But I want you to know, I want you to remember that I am a human being, just like you are. And so I'm encouraging you, take your Bible and to study. You write down the references and maybe look for some other things, because the study is very rich in trying to grasp what God really wants me to do and how I should follow Him. I'm going to use a passage of Scripture out of the book of Exodus for us to springboard from. It is not the only place you can find maybe some connection to trying to understand the will of God. This is a time when Moses is trying to, if you will, understand that he's trying to lead the people of God. And he will. He's going to do that. And it's a difficult task that he has in front of him. And as he's doing that, there are some observations that are made by those who are around him. So in the reading of our text this morning, I'm going to read it in a minute, but I want to say a couple things as we lead into that thought. First of all, Jesus records for us, or says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he or she, by the way, if you want to look that up, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You'll find this over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. I think many of us that are Bible goers or Bible class attenders, we've heard this, although that passage of Scripture. It says not everybody that just talks about it, but he that does the will of the Father. And that would mean, or that would indicate, to me it would anyway, that understanding God's will is an important thing. Life on this earth really has only one purpose, and that is that we might know God. We might know and understand the Heavenly Father. John records for us in the Gospel of John in chapter 17 and at verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that we might know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And I personally believe that successful living here on this earth can only be defined by how we can accomplish that, or go about doing that. It's always right to do the right thing. Always right to do what is the right thing to do. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. Do the right thing. It's always right to do the right thing. But it can become and get very, very tedious or taxing. Okay, our scripture, go ahead and put it back up there. I didn't mean to lead you too far. We're going to read this passage, and Moses is struggling with some things. It came about that the next day that Moses sat down to judge the people. What that means is they're going to come and ask him or talk to him, and to ask him, what does God say about this? And the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that was he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all of the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." Get that? They come to ask me about God. What does God say? And when they, of course, have a dispute, it comes to me and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known to them the statutes of God and His laws. That just kind of goes without saying that Moses had to know what the law said, right? Well, then there's an accompanying kind of New Testament passage that maybe, I don't know if you have studied it, but I'm sure you might become aware of it. As Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 15, that we are to sanctify, that means to set apart, okay? We're to sanctify the Lord in our heart, and then we are to cause ourselves, to bring ourselves to this place, and my mind just went blank. Would you mind if I turn over there and read it to you? I told you I'm just a human being. It never happens to you, right? That you go blank. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Okay? And then he says, be ready always to give an answer to every person or every man, everyone that would ask of you of the reason of hope that is in you with meekness, and in fear. I read that passage to say to you, what does that have to do? What does this have to do with us? Why would I read about Moses and his problem? I want to say to you that we face this same difficulty because we are instructed to be ready to answer questions about God for ourselves to help others know. Isn't that right? And so the people came to God, and Jethro, his father-in-law, wanted to know, why do you do this? And well, he's going to give him a solution to help, to get other people to help him make that task a little more simple. But the idea is that people want to know what God had to say. When Jesus was on the earth, Philip said, to Jesus himself, he said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus simply replied to him. This is John chapter 14, by the way. And he replied to him by saying, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." What an interesting statement. You see, that was the purpose of Jesus coming and being here, was that he might help us to know who God is. Remember, we started with this statement, and it's my statement. I'm not saying you read this in Scripture, but the whole idea is what Scripture tells us, and that is, this is life eternal, that we might know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's our job. That's our purpose. And as a Christian, we have, well, we probably in this room have all kinds of ideas about what the will of God is all about. It doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible if you do not live like you've ever opened one. Hello? Okay? It's one thing to know it and to say it, and it's another thing to put it to use. Are you really seeking the will of God? Primarily, Moses was probably dealing with disputes, as he says, about how much, where's my property line, and who are my people, and how many animals am I, are actually legally mine most of the time? And how, what must I bring as a sacrifice? I hope that what I'm getting ready to say will challenge you just a little bit. Because I think one of the most difficult things, I'm going to say a challenge for a preacher, that I face each Lord's Day is, when we come together in this one place, is how what I've got to say and how all of that can mix in with what you already think about what I'm about to say, or about what I will say, or what your expectation of what we're going to talk about. When you preach, you recognize that it's a heavy burden because you must speak biblical truth. I can't just say what my idea is, and granted, all of us preachers do have our ideas, and that's what inspires what we do when we get up here in the pulpit and start preaching. But you see, it isn't what my presupposition is. It has to be based upon what does the Bible say. What does the Bible actually say? And at some point in our lives, your life as well, you must come to grips with what the Bible says. I know, because I've heard this statement. You've probably heard it too. It's sort of an alarming kind of statement. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but I had a college professor that said when a fellow says but, he was fixing to but what he just said out the door. Well, that's not necessarily always true, but we all have our thinking about what it says. We all want to believe that we are seeking God's will in the decisions that we make. And the question is can we know about that? Can we know what the will of God is? And the answer to that question is yes. What God's will is, and just how I'm going to use the terminology of subjective, that I will be about accepting it, has a lot to do about what I'm going to, how I'm going to respond to it. There are very few preachers that I've ever known, Wes, that just volunteered to go to the Nairobi desert or Siberia to do mission work. Now, if you need somebody over in Maui, when's the bus leaving? You can get there by bus, can't you, Bobby? No? Guess we got to get in the airplane and go, huh? And what I'm illustrating to you about all of that is that we all have something in our mind about what this will do if the opportunity comes our way. And we can become very subjective about what the will of God actually is. A subjective just simply means what I think regardless of what really the fact is. An objective thought or motive is one of those that is without distortion and based upon not personal feelings, but on what has actually been said. If I only knew exactly what God wanted me to do, I would do it. Right? If you knew what God wanted you to do, and He was standing here today and spoke to us and said, this is what I want you to do, that's what you do, isn't it? We all feel like that. In fact, it would be a whole lot easier if He just threw a rock through my window with a note on it that said, Bob, I want you to do this, sign God. How many rocks would it take for you? Since we sometimes, let's just say this. I don't think God is fixing to throw a rock through my window. Okay? It means I'm going to have to do something about looking for God's will and be in search of it. You know, knowing God's will doesn't always help. How many of you remember a biblical fellow by the name of Jonah? Remember him? Remember his story? Remember God came to him and gave him a task to go do, correct? And he just said, that's great, Lord. And he hopped off and went and did it, right? Wrong. It's not what he did. In fact, he went in the opposite direction, didn't he? He knew the will of the Lord, which was to go and to preach into Nineveh. But it isn't what he wanted to do. And so he didn't do it. Well, you know in that story, there's this great story where he got swallowed up by an alligator. That's the way they tell it down in Louisiana, okay? He got swallowed by a great fish and then threw up on the shore somewhere. It took a while for him to begin to understand that God had something he wanted him to do and he needed to go do it. I hope we don't need to be swallowed by the whale and thrown up on the beach. But you see, in studying knowing to find out what the will of God is a very, very important thing. Jonah simply didn't want to do it. I've known several folks who have heard biblical truth and still yet deny it. Can we know what God's will is? Yes, but it's not going to happen until we let God take full control. Are we going to live accordingly? Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and over at verses 1 and 2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, or some versions might say reasonable, service or worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, listen, this is our subject, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I grew up in the era when there was lots of scripture quoting preachers. That was a good thing. I'm not saying that it was a bad thing. I did my very best to learn to quote scriptures and do that in my lessons. For the most part, I'm able to carry that out, except when I forget. But it's one thing to quote the scripture and another thing to live by the scripture. The idea that we present the truth is one thing. It has to start there. But the second thing is that there must be a transformation of that information going to you, to us. I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching at me too. The point is that it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. It's letting God take control of my life and letting me be transformed into the way God wants me to live my life. Information for transformation. You need to know what it says so you can transform into what God wants you to be. And there's only one way for that to happen. One, we have to let God be in control of it, but we have to know what He has to say. The father-in-law's advice to him, what the thing that you do is not good. How many of you have a father-in-law that said that to you? Nobody going to be a taker on that? The thing that you're doing is not a good thing. Well, he didn't just criticize him, did he? If you read on in the story, and we didn't read all of it today, but if you go read about Moses, you'll find that Jethro gave him a means by which he could do a better job of handling the disputes. And he showed him how that he could get some to take care of minor things so that it wouldn't trouble him and take away Moses from the serious things he should be doing. That was a good thing. Good advice. We can know what the will of God is, but it's dependent upon presenting our bodies, or that is, being a living sacrifice, God in control, and letting the good response, or that is, the good information, become transformed into my doing what God wants me to do. I know that there are many who want to know the will of God. The problem is, I'm going to have to make some sacrifices to do it. It may ask me to do something I don't want to do. We don't want to have to work at it or change many things. We'd rather have just give me a rock through the window and let me have the simple solution. This is the will of God, that you sanctify yourself. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. It is God's will that you be holy, and that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Well, we would say, I know all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to know if he wants me to buy a Ford or a Chevrolet. I want to know whether He wants me to move to Longview or stay in Henderson. Let me answer that. He wants you to stay in Henderson. Amen? Okay. That's a selfish way of looking at it, right? That's a subjective way of looking at it when I say stay in Henderson. Because I want you to stay. But what I'm getting at is that we're not always willing to do what we learn about from God. And we want it on a simple basis. Does God want me to look for another job? Does God want me to go to this university or to that one? I am not making light of bringing God into your daily decisions. I'm trying to say to you that if God is number one, those decisions will be much easier for you to make. Because if you serve God, there are some decisions that you already know are made for you. You're to be the living sacrifice. You're to be the one who is sanctified and set aside. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. It's God's will that we are constantly going through transformation, so that I may be molded into the image of Christ, that I may become like Christ. When we do all of these things together, small things become simple. In fact, that was the whole purpose of Jethro's advice. A way to handle the smaller things so the big things could get done. We need that kind of help in our life, don't we? Because sometimes it's the little things that keep nagging at us to get our attention and drags us away from the most important decision. There's another decision, but see, there was sort of a squabble between Abraham and Lot. You remember that story over in Genesis? And Abraham came up with the solution of, look, you choose which way you want to go and I'll go in the opposite direction. And the Bible says that Lot looked out at the well-watered plain of Jordan and he chose that direction and he went that way. Now see, Lot was unaware or didn't fully weigh about how being close to Sodom and Gomorrah would affect his family. And as you well know, later on, that will turn out to be a very bad decision for Lot. That he went in the direction that he went. What is the right way to go? Is it because it's a well-watered plain? Or is it because I'm making a decision based upon what will be healthy for me spiritually? When Jesus is talking to His disciples, He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, this is John 16 and verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you all the things that are to come. How does He do that? He does that through the Word of God. He does that through His message. He, the Spirit, cannot guide you into any truth that is not found or that you don't read about and have knowledge of in the message of God. And the more familiar that you are with the Bible, and the more clearly the Spirit will speak to you, and hopefully, as we pray for the courage to respond to that, that we'll be able then to do what God's will is. In Romans 8, verses 5 and 6, we have these words. Those who according to the sinful nature, or for those who according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. It is God's will that our minds be controlled by the Spirit. How do we get our minds set on what the Spirit desires? What does the Spirit desire? It's going to be fine within the covers of the Bible, the Word of God. I'm not trying to say to you that's the only thing the Spirit is capable of doing. I'm not preaching the old doctrine of the idea that the Word is, this is what the Spirit is. When we're baptized into Christ and brought into the Lord, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just the Word, that is the gift of the Spirit, who lives and dwells in us, and helps us and encourages us, and makes groanings for us before God that we're not able to utter for ourselves. But we have to read it, we have to understand it, we have to obey it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 states, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might" what? "That we might know the things that are freely given us or to us of God." I mean, that's a fairly simple statement, isn't it? That God will help us know because of the Spirit of God. And because what God wants for us. A lot of times I've only thought of God's will as something, vertically in my life. Sort of situational. Instead of something that is horizontal. In other words, holistic. Or something that is all of the time, every day of my life. That has to do with my attitude. I have sought the will of God in my situation sometimes rather than seeking the will of God in my life all the time. Hope I'm making some sense. That's the only way I know how to word it. I'm just trying to say, God, if you're in Christ, God is with you always. And He will help you through your situations. I'm not telling you don't pray about the situation. I'm just saying that my thoughts are not about God until I get into trouble. And I start asking God to help me. Rather than to live my life every day by beginning to say, God, help me. And guide me in my life today. To be guided that way. If situation comes along, naturally you become anxious about it. So, that may cause us to want to pray about it. There's nothing, no harm in that. I'm not beefing with you about that. But I want to be sure that I'm communicating. To know God's will and to know who God is to seek His will for my life. Not just situationally, but as I live every day. I don't know, have you ever thought about God may not be so concerned about some of the situations in my life? You know, the ones that I'm worried about. A week or so ago back, I had to go, which seems to be my lot in life. I had to go have another oral surgery and a root canal and all of this. About two or three posts put in and some screws. Is there anybody with me? Do you all pray about that when you go? Do you get a little anxious about that? You know, before you go? It took three people to bring that Novocaine needle in. I always crack up at the guy I go to, my dentist. He's a good friend of mine. He's been working on me for years, but they're very well trained at, you know, hiding the instrument from you. They don't want you to see it. I said, let me see that thing. He said, you don't want to see it. I said, yes, I do. He showed it to me, and they had to get some salt, smelling salt. Wake up, Bob. I'm kidding. I'm just trying to illustrate to you. Are you like I am? I'm situational. And I'm not relying on God like I should, always, in all things, in all of my life. So that when I make decisions, I'm not making them based upon today at 12:45 when I have a dental appointment. I am basing my decisions and my prayers based upon, I'm in the world today, Lord. Please be with me, and rest assured that He will be. That's knowing God's will. And that's the seeking of His will. Letting Him take control. Hindsight is always 20/20, or at least most of the time. Except, you know, when you're remembering things and you get them a little bit wrong. But most of the time, when we look back on something, we say, I should have done it this way and this way. Well, unfortunately, we don't have that power. Maybe I should learn to pray more, Mario, by saying, what will honor my God? What will honor the Father in heaven? Everything that I do and I say, I want it to honor God. In 2 Peter 1 and 3, the book says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and unto virtue. God's will is found in His book and nowhere else. Not going to find it anywhere else. So the more Bible you know, the more about God's will you will know. There's a story about a couple of sons in the Bible. You've read it before. The sons are asked to go into the vineyard. Both of them know the Father's will. Go work in the vineyard. One said, I will. One said, I won't. One that said I will didn't, and the one that said I won't did. Don't let that confuse you. Did you ever change your mind? Did you ever stop to think that might be the will of God, the Spirit of God working on your mind about what you know to help you make that decision? He changed his mind. He went and he did what the Father wanted him to do. Let's just say that they both go to the vineyard and Dad didn't tell us. They look at each other when they get there and they said, Dad didn't tell us what to do. Why don't you go back and ask? Now he said, the boy said, it'll be dark before I get back. He said, we might as well go fishing. Will the Father be happy with that decision? No, you're not going to be happy with that decision. Does the Father have the right to expect them to look around in the vineyard and to see what needs to be done? Isn't that what we were talking about, Bob, in our class today? You have a talent, I have a talent, I have a gift, you have a gift. However you want to say it, we're still connected by our faith. That's what makes us Abraham's children. It's what makes us alive in Christ. And it's what brings us to salvation. That's the access we have to the grace of God by our faith. when we do what God is asking us to do. So, hey, maybe it's just looking around the vineyard and seeing what needs to be done. Or as the opportunity comes to us, what are we supposed to do? Do good unto all men, all mankind. We're supposed to use our brain. On and on it goes. I know that when people ask us questions, they're wanting the answer, sometimes the simple response. But brethren, God cannot bless what we will not attempt. Do we always know what God's will is? I'm going to say in principle, yes. Because He says we are to do justly. Because I've told you, old man, what the will of God is. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. This is Micah 6 and verse 8. If you can get that implanted in your brain, in your mind, we're supposed to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, searching the Scriptures daily as the people at Berea did. That's the idea of searching for, looking for the will of God, making the right decisions. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Are you able to give thanks in all of your circumstances? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Just give thanks. Ask for the will of God. Following Christ is not easy. I know that's not what we always want to hear. But are you willing to pay the price? For he who searches the hearts, Romans 8 verse 27, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that a big amen? Aren't you glad the Spirit's in you? Aren't you glad God gave the Spirit to you? Those who do the will of God will live forever, John 2, verse 17. For every child of God, on every level, in the lives of God, so that we might know who God is. Are you seeking the will of God? Do you have and have you done justly? Do you love mercy? Are you walking humbly? Or is it that you're doing your own thing? I've done it my way. Repent, confess, submit, be buried in water, raised in the Spirit, walk in newness of life. If that's not you, it can be right now, if you'll come while we stand and while we sing.